Blog Talk Radio.
And the large squeaky door of Eerie House swings wide open. Come on in for some horror, sci-fi, and or fantasy. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. I'm here along with
Dave Binkley from The Weirdness. Really bad movie. And I'm hiding in the closet. I'm staying away from fortune tellers.
Why? Are you afraid of fortune tellers?
I just don't know. One, I find it hard to believe in them. And two, I think you should be careful of people who can tell the future. It's just, I don't know. It's kind of like, I did a sketch once where a guy was reading the newspaper, and he was telling this other gal at the bus stop where, I'm looking at this website where it tells you when you're going to die. It's just, well, I don't know when I want to die, but I want to know where I want to die. So why would you want to know that? I said, well, I wouldn't go there.
That's right.
You saw that one coming. You saw that one coming.
I did. But it makes you wonder, are events of the future predestined, or is it fluid and always in motion? And how do these fortune tellers surf the wave, so to speak, of all the possibilities of what the future may hold?
I'm not so sure if things are predestined or not, but again, there's a lot of things I believe in the possibility of, but there are some things that I'm very much is when you get to fortune tellers, so many of those have been tricksters of some time, just by having some kind of a trick or something, some kind of mechanical show going on that they've worked with fortune tellers, and they've been with us since basically about the turn of last century or even before that. Lincoln liked the mediums, trusted that he was entertained by mediums, I guess, as much as anything else. So he goes back at very least to the mid 1800s, and I know how much Houdini spent of his career trying to debunk mediums, which would be your fortune tellers. And he did that for part of the reason he felt bad, because the better I am at my show, my illusionist show, the more people believe in those kinds of people. And I could understand his thoughts on that.
Yeah. I don't know, but if listeners, if you want to hear some great stuff about Houdini, including his very own voice live, go back into the archives. We did a whole show on Houdini some time ago.
We did his seance. It was really cool. Yeah.
They tried to raise his ghost. There was that seance, but we also heard some live recording of him as well. And just go back, like I said, into the archive. There's lots of shows to pick from, but that one's one of my favorites about Harry Houdini. And again, he, as Dave mentioned, he spent a good deal of his career trying to debunk phony mediums.
Because he was so good. You know what I feel bad about? I think he formed his own movie production company. He did quite a few silent films. I don't know if those films are anywhere, Dale. Did any of those survive?
I don't know the answer to that. I've been wanting to find out, so someday when Eerie House TV returns, it'd be really cool to show Harry Houdini.
Yes, it would be. But so it is what it is. But I believe there are some people that are might know some things, but there are a lot more people who just try to read people and tell them what they think they might want to hear in order to. I know my ex-sister-in-law went to one once after she'd had an operation, couldn't have children anymore, and she was told that she would have a child within a year, and of course she didn't. People preying on people for the people preying on desperate people. That's what I really feel a lot of fortune tellers are. Fortune tellers are fortune hunters, I think.
Yeah, they're no better than ambulance chasers, especially when it comes to, you know, speaking with the dead and so forth. They take advantage of, like you said, vulnerable people, and it smears that maybe that handful that might have that rare insight, which to me could be an extension of common sense, a heightened type of common sense, because when you have a lot of common sense, you often say to yourself, yeah, I know how this is going to turn out, and it usually does.
Yeah. Yeah, but
is
sometimes you talk yourself into
it. Maybe that people have?
That, or sometimes you can talk yourself into something happening.
That is
or
also true.
Or you can work your way into something happening, you know? If you believe something's going to happen and you work hard enough towards it, you might make that thing happen when it might not have. Or you might give up on something because you don't think it could possibly work. The mind is a dangerous creature, and it can be very, very kind of a dark, scary thing sometimes. Of what it can keep you from doing, prevent you from doing, or allow you to do, to overcome certain things. So,
absolutely. Well, that kind of rare insight, that soothsaying, that third eye into the future is something we're delving into today with more good old time radio shows.
Yeah, we got a couple of fun ones here with Boston Blackie. Boston Blackie, and another episode of Theater 5. Very good episode of Theater 5, actually. And I think it's the subject matter that made it the good story that it is. So how do you like that, a weekend without the Mystery Theater?
I don't know if I can stand it.
Well, I mean, there were about what, almost 1,400 mystery theaters. It's so easy to find them to fit into almost every subject, you know.
Like a junkie looking for a fix, I'm starting to scratch my forearms. Arr! No CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Arr!
But plenty of other great shows, and we have two of them tonight.
And both very much on these great shows.
Boston Blackie. I don't know if you wanted to start there. That one's a lot more serious. Boston Blackie is kind of a fun one simply because of the whole character himself. And I had to look back why Faraday hated Boston, although he respects him and they're kind of pals by the time we are now in this radio series. But I had to look back and see why. And essentially, Boston Blackie's history was that he was basically a jewel thief. He was in trouble with the law a lot, and basically he straightened himself out, but still had a lot of underworld connections and such. And basically he was turned into a good guy that wanted things to go right. And wonderful thing about it, Richard Colmer, of course, even on radio, we had about 12 or 13 of the Boston Blackie movies with Chester Morris, and I love Chester Morris. I don't know why, I just get a kick out of his movies. And he actually started off portraying Boston Blackie on radio as well, when ZIV, the great syndication company, both for radio and television, more for television, because by the time they were formed in radio, they radio pretty much had a strong foothold with networks. But when they started with television was always looking for something to air, and they were actually selling things at times to networks, not just to the individual stations. So Boston ZIV handled both the radio and the television ends of Boston Blackie, and both of them are kind of interesting. Although I never pictured Boston Blackie to look like he did on television. I always thought he was a little younger with a little bit more hair, but that's okay. But that's okay. And one of the fun things, the stories are just fun, and especially for radio, Boston had a lot of terrible puns that he would say and leave with going into music, which went into another part of the story. Of course, Mary was his female companion, and his nemesis and slash friend was Faraday, who in this case on radio was none other than the great Maurice Taupin, who was the mysterious traveler, who was the strange Dr. Weird, and did a lot of suspenses in the late 50s as well.
And he's perfect guy for Blackie's, Boston Blackie's foil.
Yeah, and you listen to Faraday, who sounds like an old curmudgeon. Boy, it's so hard to think that that's Maurice Taupin. It's just that, again, obviously his great ability to become characters.
That he does, and we're going to listen to him and of course, the great Boston Blackie. This one's called Madam Zina, the fortune teller. We have a broadcast date.
We do. How about April 20th, 1940? Good. No, I can't see it. 40. I bet you it's 43 because I, doggone it. 1949. Couldn't read my own writing.
Yeah, it was in the
49. I was only 6 years off.
1949, Madam Zina.
Madam Zina's place. Let's get our fortunes told.
Oh, you don't really believe in that hulk, Mary.
Well, no, but it should be fun. Let's hear what she has to say. Come on.
Okay, but let her do all the talking. You'll see how wrong she can be. Jay Arthur Rank production.
Enter
and learn your future. I
gotta see. But only the man. Young lady will be.
Come on, Mary, let's get out of here.
No, the man will stay.
Look, Madam Zina,
anything... All right, Doctor. You stay. I'll wait outside.
Okay, Mary. I don't get it.
Sit in front of the crystal ball while Madam Zina comes with visions of the future.
Okay.
The clouds disperse and events take shape.
One of those shapes is for me. Just tell him I'm happy with Mary West.
Do not mock Madame Zina, for she sees death.
Not again.
Tonight.
What?
And you, Boston Blackie, are right in the middle of it. It's
smooth, 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 and you're sure it's pure. That, my friends, was the voice of a man, an enthusiastic friend of TV, describing what he likes about Champagne Velvet, the beer with the million-dollar flavor. You, too, will find that TV is smooth from foam to finish. More than that, from your first sip of the rich, creamy foam that billows on top of your glass, right down to that last delicious drop, you'll find CV bright and sparkling, light and lively, with a clear, clean taste that makes you sure it's pure and stamps it as a beer of real premium quality. Premium quality that costs you no premium in price.
Yes, sir, it's smooth. Just as smooth, and you're sure it's pure. There is no finer beer.
And now back to Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
Do not mock Madame Zina, For she sees death.
Hmm?
And you, Boston Blackie, are in the midst of it.
Say, how do you know my name?
I know nothing. I am but the earthly instrument of the astral body.
Yeah? Well, what's this routine about death?
It is here in the crystal ball.
Where?
It is here for everyone to see.
Oh, I'm looking.
Everyone who wishes to see.
Okay, take a second look, and maybe you can see who it is that's going to be dead.
Again, you mock, Madame Gina.
That's right. I don't believe a word you're saying.
Oh, you have disturbed the astral inventors. Get out.
Okay, okay. That's what I want to do in the first place.
But remember what Madame Gina has said.
Oh, I've made notes.
There is death. And you, Boston Blackie, are right in the midst of it.
How much do I owe you for this seance?
You owe Madame Gina nothing.
It's a bargain.
But you may owe the stars your life.
Come on, Mary, let's defy the forces of gravity.
Instead of the forces of Faraday? Oh, now, Blackie, I refuse to take another step until you tell me what happened with Madame Venus.
Nothing happened.
Oh,
it was all a joke.
I don't
she
believe
was giving me a rib, honestly. And I gave it right back to her, so she chased me out of her place.
Blackie, you're holding something out on me.
Look, Mary, let's go on this ride, and I'll tell you everything that happened word for word.
Mr. Flynn.
What? What is it, Doc?
The fan belt on the merry-go-round broke, and we need another one.
Stop whispering and talk louder. I can't hear a word you're saying.
Oh, I keep forgetting you're hard-hearing. The fan belt on the merry-go-round broke, and we need a new one.
Hey, you'll find it in the supply cabinet in my office. Get it.
Sure enough, Mr. Flynn.
Hey, have you seen Cooper around?
Well, he's working the suckers near that concession over there.
Call that no good pickpocket to stop working my Connie. I'm going to get him and break his neck.
Yes, honey, close the boat. Don't push. There's plenty of room for everyone up here. That's right. Now,
I'll
tell you what. I'm
going to
see you.
Okay, Cooper. Get a move on. Beat it.
Now, look, Flint, you got me all wrong. I ain't doing nothing. Just watching Joe make his pitch.
Come on, Cooper. Get away from these people.
Why?
What I got to say to you, I say in private.
Now, let go of my arm.
Let go nothing. Come on, you. Move.
All right. Okay, Flint, we're away from the mob. Now say your piece and let go of my arm.
I told you before, Cooper. I don't want you working the crowd at my carny.
Who's doing anything? I'm just walking around like the rest of the crowd. It's a free country.
Yeah, and you're kind of free with your hands in other people's pockets.
Well, you're saying things. I'm just minding my own business.
Now look, Cooper.
Yeah?
This is my first carny in the States. For 10 years, I had a tent show in Australia.
So what?
10 years. And not once did anybody squawk that they were on.
Okay, so you're honest. What should I do? Yell hooray? Yeah. Why don't you come right out with it? You don't want me around because of Rhoda.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Let me refresh your memory. Rhoda, a beautiful blonde who dresses up in a monkey suit and makes with the animal routine.
I'm warning you, Cooper. Get out of here and stay out.
Now I'm the one that's out of hearing. I'm staying.
You're getting out.
I'm not getting out.
You're going out. Out.
Mm-hmm. Who's out there?
It's me, Cooper.
Cooper?
Yeah, can I come in?
I'm just about in my monkey suit. Okay, come in.
I just had a talk with the boy.
With Flint?
Yeah.
Cooper, you had a fight. Look at the cut on your cheek.
So what? Flint don't look so pretty either.
What's the matter with you? You want me to lose my job?
Yeah. I'm sick and tired of seeing you climb into that broken-down monkey suit.
Yeah, pays the rent and grocery bills.
Rent and grocery bills. Rhoda, use your head.
That's what I'm doing.
Look, with your looks, you should be in the movies instead of doubling for a monkey.
Beat my brains out and starve with the rest of those Hollywood hopefuls? No, thanks.
Now, look, baby, with me along, you got nothing to worry about. I'll stake you until you get set.
How are you going to do it? By lifting stuff from people's pockets?
Well, don't you worry about that.
Oh, no? When the cops pick you up, little Rhoda's left out in the cold.
Now, look.
Come on, Cooper. Stop daydreaming. Help me with the back of my costume. I'm due on in a couple of minutes.
Rhoda, you're leaving the carny with me after this show. This is the last time you get into your monkey suit.
Guess again. I'm staying.
Maybe you didn't understand what I said, baby. This is the last time you get into your monkey suit. Whether you go with me or not. Homicide, Faraday.
Inspector, you've got to protect me. I'm going to be killed.
Huh? Who is this? Who's going to kill you?
My name is Rhoda Cummings, and I work at the carnival. Cooper said he's going to kill me.
Yeah, who's Cooper?
Somebody I know.
Why should he kill you?
He wants me to quit my job and go away with him.
Look, lady, you got the wrong department. You need the marriage bureau.
Didn't you hear what I said?
Yeah, but
Cooper's
I got a wife.
Cooper's going to kill me unless you do something about it fast.
Oh, come on, Mary. Let's see if I can win a baby doll for you. Sure. It could be quite a picture.
Black.
I know you're worried about that Madame Zina and her property.
Well, I am.
Stop, will you? Oh, Mary, honestly. I'm the one who should be worried.
Well, somebody ought to be.
Mary, you know where I've been for the past 10 minutes.
No, and you know me better than to think I'd ask you.
I was calling Billboard, the theatrical trade paper.
You were?
I found out about this Madame Zina and also about a fellow named Flint who owns the carnival.
And?
Zina is an old-timer at the racket.
Yeah.
Flint is a hard-of-hearing guy who operated in Australia, and this is his first carnival over here.
Oh, but Blackie, how could Madame Zina call you by name?
Mary, my picture has been in the paper a couple of times, you know. The whole thing is
hey,
just a...
Hey, excuse me for butting in.
Well, what's the matter?
But, I wouldn't talk like that about Madame Zina.
Oh, a friend of yours?
If you want to call it that.
Well, what's...
Madame Zina and I have been crossing paths in this business for nigh on 30 years.
Oh, you work in this carnival?
Well, but in this carnival, it's another. As long as there's a carnival, I'm there.
Oh.
That's the only life worth living.
I guess it's fun.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's personal, all right.
But my name is James Bland Thompson. Folks just call me Pop.
Hiya, Pop. This is Mary Wesley. I'm Boston Blackie.
Howdy, ma'am.
Hello there, Pop.
And howdy... Boston Blackie? Hey, I heard tell about you.
Well, that's good.
Now, what's this about you and Madame Zina not seeing eye to eye?
Well, I'll tell you, Pop. She was looking into a crystal ball and she saw death.
Well, you can believe it.
Oh, Pop. Come now.
No, that's true.
You're an old-timer. You know the tricks of the trade. Don't tell me you believe it.
If Madame Zina said it, I believe it.
Okay.
Oh, Blackie, she can look into the future.
You see?
I'll admit she's pretty good if she's got an old-timer like you, Buffalo. What?
That was a shot.
And it came from the direction of those cars. Come on.
Easy, Blackie. I'm trying to keep up with you.
Take it easy. Me too, Blackie.
I think the shot came from this wagon over here.
Oh,
that's Rhoda's place.
Huh?
You stay out here, Mary. I'm going in alone.
No, nothing doing, Blackie. If something's the matter with Rhoda, I'm going in.
No, I'm not staying out either.
Okay, come on.
Black. Look. The monkey that's been shot.
No, it's Rhoda.
Rhoda?
Inside that costume, you'll find Rhoda.
Who is this Rhoda?
A young blonde gal who does an act imitating a monkey.
You mean there's a human being in that costume?
That's right.
Let's open it up.
There's a zipper over the headpiece. There.
Get this headpiece off.
That isn't Rhoda.
No, Pop. Looks like I owe you an apology.
What do you mean, Blake?
Madame Zina could really tell the future. She predicted death, all right. Our own.
Listen for just a few seconds to a man who knows good beer and who likes champagne velvet, the beer with the million-dollar flavor. Bright and sparkling. Yes, sir. Light and lively. Yes, sir. Clear and clean. Yes, sir, there is no finer beer. And that's a fact. Go where you will, pay what you will. No better beer than CV can be had at any price. No better beer than CV can be made at any cost. CV's famous formula provides for only the more costly premium quality materials. Then, CV's careful processing and controlled aging gives you a beer that you're sure is pure. CV's flavor will tell you all of that. You'll find it bright and sparkling from foam to finish, robust and full-flavored as a real honest-to-goodness beer should be. CV's flavor will tell you that you're enjoying a premium-quality beer at no premium in price. You're sure it's P
pure. And it's just as smooth.
Kind of left me hanging there. And a new...
Yes, sir.
Indeed. Reminds get me, yours now.
It reminds me of those old gasoline attendant commercials or stuff. Where, yes, sir. What can I do for you today? You know. Yes, give me 50 cents of good golf. Give me 50 cents of good golf, please. Oh,
so
my, oh
my! She didn't even need a car.
And Boston Blackie, once again, finds himself in the middle of a murder.
Yeah.
It'll only be a matter of moments before Inspector Faraday arrives, I'm sure.
I like the way that Boston Blackie addressed the fortune teller. And thus the friction.
Yeah. Yeah. He can be abrasive to just about anybody. But again, as they say, what is that? Enemy to those who make them one, and friend to those who have no friends, or the opposite of that. Friend,
yeah.
Friend to have those who have friends, and enemy to those who make them one. And yeah, he went in there completely being a skeptic, and yet the murder, the death came true. You know, see a death in your future.
Yeah. Too bad it was around.
You know what kind of surprised me about this? He went in. I don't know why. Mary finally talked him into going in, but he wouldn't let her go in with him, so she didn't get to hear what he had said. I don't know why. Maybe because Mary blabs too much and wouldn't be able to hear what she was saying. I don't know. But
Mary's
so
a blabbermouth.
Mary's a blabbermouth. Blabbermouth. To the moon, Mary. To the moon. One of these days.
Visions of Jackie Gleason are dancing in my head, but
those would be heavy visions, man.
Yeah, very heavy.
Yep. Yep. So we have an interesting story. You know, the thing is. Interesting story going on. It's amazing how it's built. Sometimes Boston doesn't even show up right away, kind of like the shadow. The story kind of builds, and then he kind of shows up. This is one where he was right there from the get-go. And so it's always interesting because the stories are not that formulatic that they always follow the same formula here and there, and then, poop, here's the ending, and there you go.
Yeah. No, there's definitely some tension being built here, and let's see what happens to Boston Blackie with part two, Madam Zina. We'll be back.
And now, back to Boston Blackie. Blackie is told by Madam Zina, a fortune teller at the carnival, that he soon will be in the middle of death. Flint, owner of the carnival, tries to chase Cooper, a pickpocket, from the lot, and is knocked unconscious for his efforts. Cooper then goes to Rhoda, the girl in the monkey costume, and threatens to kill her unless she goes away with him. While walking through the midway, Blackie and Mary hear a shot and find Madam Zina dead in Rhoda's monkey costume. As we return to our story, Madam Zina's body has been removed, and Blackie and Inspector Faraday are discussing on the crime.
Blackie, why is it every time there's a murder, I find you there?
You have to find something, Faraday. After all, you are a cop.
Well, nice of you to admit it.
Sorry.
By the way, you're acting too nice to me. Why?
It's Be Kind to Animals Week.
No.
Faraday, what are you doing about Madame Zina's killer?
What am I... It just so happens I got Matthews searching the carnival grounds for the guy right now.
There are a couple of thousand people out there, Faraday. How do you know which guy you want?
Well, his name is Cooper, and we got a pretty good description of him from Flint, the owner of this carny.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper's a pickpocket who works traveling shows.
Why, Faraday, you've been holding out on me.
Sure.
Why?
I got a call from a girl. Mm-hmm. She says her name is Rhoda. She works at the carnival.
I see.
And her boyfriend, Cooper, is threatened to kill her if she doesn't go away with him.
And?
And I get here, find that Rhoda is the monkey girl, and that somebody in a monkey costume has been killed.
And from that, you figure that Cooper is your killer?
Of course. Cooper came into the tent to make good his threat.
He saw somebody in the monkey costume, didn't bother to find out who was in it, started shooting.
That's what you think.
It's simple, genius.
And so are you.
Where
is Rhoda now?
Who knows?
Nobody's seen her since the body was discovered. In fact, Mary's looking for her right now.
Why don't you look for Mary?
But how did Madame Zina get into Rhoda's costume?
Well, with Zippus.
And Faraday. Where do I find this guy, Flint, the owner of the carnival?
His office is in the wagon at the end of this row. Talk loud. He's a little deaf. And you two will make a wonderful team, deaf.
This place has now become a corny carny, Faraday.
Some joke.
I've never met a carnival owner. Maybe I can get his autograph.
We'll read it to him.
Very cute. Mm. By the way, I have a prediction of my own to make.
What is your prediction, Madam Blackie?
I'm going to make a monkey out of the killer who shot Madam Zina in that monkey suit.
Well, Pop, still no sign of Rhoda.
I'm getting kind of worried, Miss Wesley.
Yeah, me too.
We've looked near the Ferris wheel, back at concessions, out on the midway.
Yeah, we've looked
everywhere. She's got to be someplace on this lot.
Well, Pop, we expected to find Rhoda in the monkey costume. We found Madam Zina.
Yeah.
Maybe Rhoda's in Madam Zina's wagon.
Now, that's an idea.
Yeah.
There's the wagon up ahead there.
Well, I hope we find her.
Alive.
Yeah.
Not like Zina.
Oh, now, this hit you pretty hard, didn't it?
Like taking my right arm.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Zina taught me the ropes on my first tent job.
Did
she? I was a kind of a green kid from a farm with a smell of sawdust in his nostrils. I fooled a carny owner into giving me a job as a hawker.
Did you really?
Yeah. Now, Zina saw right through me and put me wise to the game.
No wonder you missed her.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to miss her a lot.
Here's your tent.
Yeah. Let's go in. Don't be frightened.
How did that gong ring? Madam Zina's dead.
There's an electric eye inside this doorway which sets off the gong when the connection is broken.
Oh.
Now, to see if Rhoda's in here.
Yeah.
Rhoda! Rhoda!
No, doesn't look like she's here.
You're right. But where can she be if she's still alive?
Anybody in? Door's open.
Hey, what's the matter? Don't you believe in knocking?
I did knock, but nobody answered.
Stop mumbling. I can't hear a word you're saying.
I said I did knock, but nobody answered.
Why didn't you say so? Come in and close the door.
Okay.
You a cop?
No, I'm Boston Blanky.
I've heard of you.
You're Flint?
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh.
Have they picked up Cooper?
Not yet, but they will.
My first carny in the States, and I have to get mixed up in a murder.
You're just back from Australia?
What?
I said, are you just back from Australia?
Yeah, yeah. Flint Show played every big city in that land down under.
Melbourne?
Melbourne, Brisbane, Sydney, played them all.
I think Melbourne is the most beautiful city in Australia.
Yeah, I feel the same way. You been there?
Yeah. And Sydney, it's only about 2 hours by train from Sydney to Melbourne, right?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, getting back to this mix-up, I built a good reputation during those 10 years in Australia, and this is a tough rap for me. It's all Cooper's fault.
What about Cooper?
He's a cheap pickpocket who was working my crowd and trying to make time with Rhoda.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I tried to chase him off the lot this afternoon.
What happened?
Said he was going, but he was going to take Rhoda with him.
Uh-huh.
He said a couple of swings at each other, and the next thing I knew, one of the local yokels was picking me off the grass.
And you haven't seen Cooper since, huh?
No, but you've got to catch Cooper before there's any more killing on this lot. You never know what a crazy guy like that will do. Hey, that sounds like a fight.
It is. I'm going to find out for sure.
I'm with you. Hey, Blackie. That's Cooper. Run away from the cops.
And right into me.
Get out of my way. Get out of my way.
Sorry, Cooper. Hold it.
Hey, let go of me.
What's your rush, Cooper?
Let go. I'll knock your head off.
Silly boy. Well, Flint, there's our boy on the ground.
Yeah, I see.
Glad I could stop Cooper before he flew the coop.
Come on, Cooper. Talk and get it over with. We know you killed Madam Zina.
I told you, Inspector, I didn't kill anybody. You believe me, don't you, Blackie?
You threatened to kill Rhoda, didn't you?
Well, sure, but you know how a thing like that slips out. I didn't mean it.
No.
No.
Cooper, you shot Madam Zina, thinking it was Rhoda.
Oh.
Okay, Matthews, take him downtown.
Okay, Inspector. Come on, Cooper, let's go.
All right, you don't have to. Come on, get all right. Well, Blackie, I guess that winds up this case.
Does it?
What else?
You have no witnesses to the crime. You don't even have the murder weapon. Where's your case?
What do you mean, where's my...
Arrest me. Arrest me. I killed Madame Zina.
You what? What's this?
I killed Madame Zina. I did it. I tell you.
Slow down, miss. Who are you?
Oh, you're Rhoda, aren't you?
That's right. I'm Rhoda Cummings. I killed my best friend.
Okay. So you killed her. How'd you do it?
When Cooper threatened me, I went to Madame Zina and told her I was scared.
Yeah?
She told me to hide in her wagon and she'd take my place for one performance.
One performance. Go on.
Well, she did it. And now she's dead instead of me. It's all my fault. Arrest me.
Say, where have you been up to now?
Hiding in Zina's wagon. But Pops and a girl came into the wagon looking for me, and I heard them say that Zina was dead. So I came over here.
Now, who is this Pops and a girl?
Well, the girl is Mary Wesley, and Pops is an old-time carnival man.
Look, Miss Cummings, relax. We caught the killer. Your friend, Cooper.
Faraday, did you ever think that Cooper might be innocent?
No. You're just sore because you didn't solve the murder.
Which murder are you talking about?
Madame Zina, of course. Is there another one?
I think so. It took place a couple of weeks ago, I think. And when I make sure of the past, I'll make you a present to the killer.
Well, Pop, we still haven't gotten Rhoda to deliver to Blackie.
No, we almost did, Miss Wesley.
Yeah.
If she hadn't...
Mary!
It's Blackie.
Yeah. Wait for me, will you?
Yeah, we almost had her, Blackie.
Okay, Mary.
What do you mean?
Rhoda just walked into her wagon.
She did?
Faraday is with her now.
Is she all right?
Yeah, she's all right. But she thinks she's responsible for Zena's death.
Oh, no.
Yeah? Look, Pop.
Yeah?
You say you've known Zena for about 30 years. Do you know where she worked recently?
I know every show she's worked in the last 20 years.
Did she ever work Australia?
Oh, sure, for 2 years.
Thanks, Pop.
For what, Blackie?
You just gave me one killer for 2 murders. I'll see you later.
Hey, where are you going, Blackie?
Talk to Cooper. He's in jail, but he won't be there for long.
Come in to see you, Cooper.
Who?
Oh, it's you, Blackie. So think I killed Zena?
Maybe. How long have you known her?
A couple of years. Why?
I understand that you and Flint had a fight this morning.
Yeah, we did. Knocked him cold when he tried to chase me off the lot. It's a free country. I can go where I please.
Blackie, what are you doing in there?
Helping you wind up your case.
I don't need your help. I got Cooper in this cell, and Rhoda Cummings is willing to testify. He threatened
her. I didn't kill Zena.
Look, Faraday.
At what?
How'd you like to make this case airtight?
I'm listening.
Okay. Let's go see Flint and find out what we can make the guy who owns the carnival own up to.
Hello, Inspector. Blackie.
Hello, Flint.
Hello, Flint.
Has Cooper confessed yet? No, but he will.
Now look, Flint, we need your help in this case.
What?
We need your help.
Name it and you got it.
Faraday, don't look now. What's that? Flint probably has the murder gun right here in the room.
Oh, come now, Blackie. Stop that nonsense about a gun. You said you wanted my help.
Yes, and you've just given it to me. You're not deaf, are you, Flint?
What are you talking about?
You heard me whisper to Faraday about the gun.
I saw your lips move.
That's possible, but when I was here before, you pretended not to hear my knocking on the door. Yet you heard the noise in the distance when Matthews was chasing Cooper, and it wasn't very loud either. Believe me, you're not deaf. It's all an act.
Okay, so I'm not deaf. Blackie, what is this all about?
He isn't even Flint.
What? You're crazy.
I don't know who you are, but you killed the real Flint and took over his show. You killed Madame Zina, not by accident, but on purpose.
Why should I kill Madame Zina? She was the best draw in the lot.
She knew the real Flint, probably. Had worked with him in Australia.
What?
I found out she did work there. Chances are she tried to blackmail you, and you killed her. The fact that she was in Rhoda's monkey costume was a complication, but it was just a break for you.
All right. So I killed her. But I'm going to kill both of you right now.
Get him, Party.
Pleasure.
Takes care of Mr. Flint.
Sure does. You can let Cooper out of jail now.
You win, mastermind. How did you know this guy wasn't the real Flint?
When I first met him, he said he'd spent 10 years in Australia.
Huh?
When we started talking about Melbourne, we both agreed it was the prettiest city on the continent. and that it was only 2 hours from Sydney.
Okay, so you're discussing geography. What's that got to do with murder?
Faraday, anybody who's spent any time at all in Australia knows it takes a half a day to get from Melbourne to Sydney.
So?
So what must have happened is this. When the real Flint came to this country, this character knocked him off and took over his identity.
Yeah?
He would have gotten away with it, probably, if it weren't for Madame Zena.
Oh, I get it.
Well, it's about time. And Faraday, speaking of time, see to it that Flint gets plenty of it.
If you want a beer with flavor, a flavor that's delightfully different, try the million-dollar flavor of Champagne Velvet Beer. It's just as smooth.
Now, there's a suggestion for the person who has yet to try Champagne Velvet. You'll find CV to be the smoothest, most mellow beer you ever tasted. More than that, you'll like its brightness, its sparkle, and the clear, clean taste that makes you sure it's pure. In addition, you'll enjoy the rich, robust, and full-bodied flavor that proves CV's premium quality. Premium quality that is yours to enjoy at no premium in price. That's why our enthusiastic friend says,
try it. Just try CV and you'll agree there is no finer beer. You're sure it's pure. And it's just as smooth. Just as smooth.
And now, here's a glimpse of what happens in next week's Boston Blackie Adventure.
Hey, Morgan.
Huh?
Jack Morgan, wait a minute. I want to talk to you.
Well, well, if it isn't Dynamite Thompson.
Yes.
What do you want to talk to me about?
Don't act so innocent.
What do you mean?
The Fairway construction job. My bid should have won.
Only my bid was lower.
By $500. That's the third time you've underbid me on a big contract. How do you always figure your bid just a little less than mine?
Oh, that'd be telling.
How come you've landed every big construction contract the last 2 years?
Oh, come now, Dynamite. You don't expect me to tell you.
You don't have to tell me, I know. You've got a stooge planted in my outfit. I don't know who he is. When I find him, I'm going to take him apart just like I'm going to do to you right now.
Think you're man enough?
Stick around and find out.
You small fry. Maybe this will show you, Morgan.
Look out, Dynamite. You're leading with your chin.
Okay, Morgan, okay.
That's enough now. Hold it.
Boston Blackie, the peacemaker. Who needs you? Now, you stay out of this.
Yeah?
It's private.
Do tell.
Had enough, Dynamite?
No. I told you I'm going to tear you apart.
I'm waiting.
Oh,
look at
it right now.
Lay off, Blackie. I'm going to kick this guy's face.
Oh, yeah?
You can't. Beat it, Morgan.
Oh,
I'll
no.
I'll handle it myself.
Okay. Okay, but I'll be taking care of this chump some other time.
That's your story, Morgan. I'll get even with you if it's the last thing you ever do.
Another fine adventure of Boston Blackie with Madam Gina.
Yep, busybody. That's all that Boston Blackie is really anymore, just a busybody, you know?
Yeah, he gets in everybody's business, but it's good adventure. He's almost like a detective. He figures stuff out and knows where to be.
Yeah, there's only a few of these guys that weren't detectives but kind of acted like one. I'm kind of thinking along the line of Rocky Fortune, kind of Pat Novak for hire. He was always doing it to save his own butt because Burr, Raymond Burr, was too lazy to go out and do the police work himself. So he was just going to pin it on him. Just like Faraday always wanted to pin it on Blackie, so Blackie had to solve the crime, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, Raymond Burr was probably busy drinking. But
or eating. He's a big guy.
Yeah, he was a big guy. Especially around Ironside's time. He needed that wheelchair.
Exactly. Exactly.
I can't make it to the buffet. I need a wheelchair.
I guess he hated that role. He was so glad when that series got canceled because he was getting such a – being a tall guy, and he is. He's a big guy, and he's a tall guy. He was always looking down. And he spent the whole time on the Iron Side looking up at people. He had a crick in his neck from that show. So –
good time.
Yep,
but
another fine. I was just saying, another fine Boston Blackie episode and the busybody. And actually, that's almost what he is. He gets involved in a lot of things nobody even asked him to at times. But he wants things to be right or what would be right, you know, in the great American sense of right.
And justice.
And the American way.
And he puts it on himself and outsmarts the cops every time.
Yeah, and Faraday's been on the force for a lot of years. He's head of homicide. You'd think that that guy wouldn't be complete doofus the way, not that he's, in a sense, played, but he's completely played by Blackie all the time. I can't tell you how many times he's left Faraday behind or locked in the – well, he locked him once in the morgue, and he locked him in his own office. He handcuffed him to his own chair once. I mean, these are all the different things that Boston Blackie did to Faraday. I can't understand why Faraday wouldn't like him.
Yeah, but that's what makes Boston Blackie so cool.
Yeah. He's just on the edge of the law himself, he usually is. And let's just say some of the way he comes to some of his proof would not have stood up in court if a policeman were to do it, shall we say.
Yes. all's well that ends well, and poor Madam Zina.
So whenever something ends, I guess we have to learn something from it.
We should. We should learn how to scroll faster. Erie House Radio proudly presents a Garless Moral of the Story.
Yes, apologies to Gar. Thanks to Boston Blackie proving it once again. Never put on a monkey costume. Even if it doesn't kill you, you'll still probably get fleas. There you go.
That laugh just makes you want to laugh.
It does. It's a great. That is just a great combination of laugh. Got a few things here, Dale. Some things that you might not want to hear from psychic. I, you know, one is not really part of it, so we'll do that one first. It is go to a psychic and say, do not go into the Fifth National Bank at noon today. So why? Will there be robbers? He says, no, you don't have any money there. But anyway, here are a few things you never want to hear from a fortune teller. And the first one is, I see divorce in your future. And you're not even married yet. Another one is something a single guy wants to hear from a fortune teller. I see twins in your future. Something a single gal doesn't want to hear coming from a fortune teller. I see twins in your future. And and something nobody ever wants to hear from a fortune teller. I'm so sorry. Here's your money back. There you go. There you go. Oh, and Foggs wants to put a nickel in the Zoltar machine there. Yep. Those were fun things. Those were fun things, weren't they? Those fortune telling machines. Those fortune telling machines that, I mean, they even had one up at Cedar Point for a while, and a lot of the carnivals had that. Yeah. Isn't that what put in, I don't know why, Tom Hanks put in the story Big. He wanted to be Big.
I don't know, but it seems like every carnival or amusement park, he used to have the fortune teller like in a booth. It was an animatronic dummy of a gypsy fortune teller. And those were always creepy, weren't they?
They were. And you knew it was not true, although some of them spoke and some of them spit out cards you had to read. Does that mean if fortune tellers are all fake, does that mean Chinese fortune cookies aren't real?
Oh, no, they just write real fast.
Once I ate the fortune and read the cookie, that was not a good fortune.
Oh, I remember the weight machines would have a fortune. My fortune was always, get off, you're killing me.
Yeah. One at a time.
Yeah, one at a time. One at a time, ladies. Oh, no. That's no fun.
Went to a photographer.
Maybe we should put a nickel in the jukebox.
Well, why don't we put a nickel in the jukebox and see what we have there today?
We might as well. I mean, Fogsbane can put a nickel in the Zoltar machine, like William Shatner. We can put a nickel in the jukebox.
Absolutely.
Dream girl, dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl.
Tonight, show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a luster cream shampoo. Only luster cream brings you Kay Dumit's magic formula blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Gives loveliness lather even in hardest water. Glamorizes your hair as you wash it. Luster cream, not a soap, not a liquid, but a dainty cream shampoo. Leaves hair fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen. Soft, manageable. Gives new beauty to all hairdos or permanents. 4-ounce jar, $1. Smaller sizes, either tubes or jars. Tonight, try Luster Cream Shampoo and be a
dream girl, beautiful Luster Cream Girl. You owe your crowning glory to a Luster Cream Shampoo.
It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, the old days when the guys would be going to work and the gal would be not dressed up all that, and but wear the kind of the napkin over her head, and then about an hour before he got home, she would dress up and take the curlers out of her hair, and it'd be all spiffy for him when he got home from work.
As it should be. No.
that'll cost you. That'll cost you.
Yeah, it'll cost me. That'll cost me.
Well, we have another fun story here, Dale. Another wonderful Theater 5 presentation. I'm the more I get to hear these, the more I'm starting to like these. And some of it is the whole way they tell their story. They're a little different than the Golden Age of radio, where I think there's a few less restrictions on the way a story can be told, in a sense. And the stories themselves are kind of modernized. The things that weren't around in the 40s are not the things you're still talking about here. So it's really kind of interesting the way as the more of these I hear, the more, I mean, and as Michael Giorgio said when he was on with you that last time, he really feels that Theater 5 was a very underrated program. And I think he's right, but in 65, I don't think we were ready for drama again, I guess. But 64 and 65.
I guess not. ABC ran this program, and I mean, there's some big names in some of these stories, too. James Earl
there
Jones, pre-MASH, Alan Alda, Ed Begley, So, I mean, you know, they didn't skimp on talent.
No, and you got to also hear a lot of the greats from old radio. You had, you know, Grace Matthews and Brett Morrison and Robert Dryden is all over the place in a lot of these. And they were on 5 days a week. Again, wherever the station wanted to put them, but they were on 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And that did make it, I thought that made it interesting. So that's a lot of storytelling to tell in 1 week to get all those people to, and I'm not sure whether they had different directors and such. I know when Hyman Brown did it and they were on every night, he directed every episode of the Radio Mystery Theater. I think Elliot Lewis did a lot of the directing of the Rod Serling Zero Hour, but other people were directing the Sears Theater, and which became the Mutual Theater. I think that he had different people directing the episodes. He was just oversaw all the production. So
now this particular episode, of course, fits our format. We're all about the fortune telling. It's got a strange title, though, Dave. April Snowfall.
April Snowfall. Yes, it does. Will it make sense? I guess we'll find out as we hear the story.
We will. And this one is from?
It is from March 5th, 1965. I can read my own handwriting on that one.
Here's part one.
Theater 5 presents April Snowfall.
Come on, Glenn. I've always wanted to have it done.
Since when do you believe in fortune tellers?
Just for the fun of it. Now, come on.
Oh, some other time, honey. It's getting late.
No. And it won't take long. And besides, you know, we can sleep all day tomorrow. Now, come on now.
Well,
you know, you said this was my night.
Look, you wouldn't settle for a quiet nightcap somewhere?
No.
The apartment, for instance?
No.
Look, there's a cab.
It's off duty.
No, it isn't.
Oh, you want to bet?
You're on.
Off duty, we go in. On duty, we go home, okay?
Okay.
Taxi!
11:30 on a Saturday night. Well, it figures.
Mrs. Elspeth, private reading. Open. Come on.
Oh, did anyone ever tell you you have one of the finest minds of the 13th century? Fortune telling. Oh. Will you look at the dust in this place? What are you doing?
I'm taking off my wedding ring.
Clever.
Oh, well, I guess we're just supposed to sit down and wait.
Sit down? I just had this suit cleaned. Look, let's go, huh?
No.
Mrs. Elspeth's probably sleeping one off in the back room.
Good evening.
Oh, hello. Are you still open? The sign said that...
Until 12.
Oh.
Do you both want a reading?
No, just my wife here.
Thank her.
Sit here, please, at the table. You understand, I can only tell you what I see. Sometimes I see nothing significant, in which case there will be no charge.
Well, that sounds fair enough.
Excuse me while I get the silks.
Silks?
Do you have a favorite color, my dear?
Yes, blue.
Well, then, we'll give you a blue scarf. Now, then, I want you to take the scarf in the hand with which you write and crumple it in your fist as tightly as you can.
No crystal ball? That's a switch.
Glenn. Like this?
How many letters in your first name?
Sally, five.
Now, you must count with me slowly to five.
One, two, three, four, five.
Now, open your hand and let the scarf fall to the table. Once I have smoothed it out, I must ask you not to touch it again. It's scarcely creased at all. I may not be able to... Wait a moment. Yes, there's something, a sound. I hear a shattering of glass, fine glass, crystal. Do you own any valuable crystals?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Aunt Esther's Swedish crystal, Gwen.
It's right here. See? The jagged crease in the silk. Sometime tonight, you will break something of crystal.
Well, I can see I'm going to get my nightcap in a jelly glass.
There's something else. Somehow it's connected with the broken crystal. See how the crease branches off? It's the beginning of a series of events. Do you have a small child?
Yes, we have a son.
I see a car, a red car. There's an accident. I hear a child crying out.
Johnny?
All right. I think we've had it. What's the charge for this?
He's crying, but he isn't hurt. Just frightened.
Come on, Sally.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much, but
just a moment. There's something else. Hands. Two broken hands.
Johnny's?
No. And yet, your son is somehow connected with them.
Sally, you don't want to hear any more of
this. Wait just a minute, Gwen.
Here's something. Rain. No. I get the sensation of cold. Snow? Yes, snow.
In the middle of April, Sally.
But it all keeps leading back to the broken crystal. The broken crystal and...
And what?
I see nothing else.
Oh.
What do we owe you?
Oh, now, just a minute, Glenn. But... There is something else, isn't there?
I told you, I see nothing.
Well, Glenn, pay her whatever it is. Mrs. Elspeth, is there something else? What keeps leading back to the broken crystal?
You really want me to tell you?
Sally.
Yes, please.
All right. It's not very clear, but from the moment the crystal is broken, there is a beginning of a series of events leading to your... death.
Now, wait just a minute.
Still, there is something. Yes, here. Something you can do to prevent it.
How?
How much is your life worth to you, my dear?
Oh, now, what are you trying to pull off here? Sally, we're getting out now, and she's just lucky I don't pull this bat's nest down around her ears.
I'm an old woman. There's nothing more anyone can do to me. I've told you what I saw in the silk. Your wife will die violently unless she takes the necessary steps to prevent it. I can tell you what they are.
Sure you can.
How much do you want?
Is your wife's life worth $2,000?
$2,000? What kind of suckers do you think we are?
You have 2 days. If you want to save your wife's life, I must have the money in my hands no later than 5 o'clock on Monday.
Well, don't hold your breath. Sally?
5 o'clock Monday.
Nightcap time. Darling, water or soda?
Water.
Here you are, one for you and one for me.
You're using Aunt Esther's Swedish crystal. I take it all back. You do not have one of the finest minds of the 13th century. To Mrs., what was her name?
Elspeth.
Long may she fly.
Hey, watch it. Or we'll be hearing them. A shattering of crystal.
What would you do if I dropped one? Come on now, don't tell me she didn't have you going there for a while.
Me?
Ah.
If I hadn't gotten you out of there, you'd have torn that place apart.
Well, this woman is a complete fraud. What about the poor idiots who take that mumbo-jumbo seriously? Mm. You know, there are people around who would have paid her the $2,000.
Oh.
Probably hock everything they had to do it.
Well, do you think she should be reported?
Well, that's not our problem. I think I'll have another drink.
Oh, now, come on. You've drunk all the calories you're going to for one night. Keep me company while I wash the Swedish crystal. You know, the cleaning woman has a thing about glassware. Oh, bring the tray, will you?
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, Glenn, honestly.
I tripped.
I don't think that was very funny.
Here we are. safe and sound.
Thank goodness. There. All done.
Mm-hmm. Two highball glasses in mint condition.
I'll put them on the shelf. Thank you. And that, as they say, is that. Okay, now to get out of this apron and into a nice, warm... Oh, no.
What's the matter?
I dropped my apron.
Oh, the floor is clean.
Yes, but my wristwatch was in the pocket, and I just got it back from the jeweler. Oh. Well, it's still running, thank heavens. It's just a broken crystal.
What's the matter?
Hmm?
Honey.
Huh?
Honey, are you all right?
Glenn? Oh, Glenn. Oh.
It's all right, honey.
Oh.
You were having a nightmare.
Oh, Glenn, it was... Oh, it was so real.
Well, nightmares usually are.
Oh.
You want a tranquilizer or anything?
No, I'm all right. Whew. Let me cigarette, will you?
Sure.
Oh.
There you are.
Thanks. You know, it all fitted together. Everything she predicted. The shattering of glass, the car accident, the broken hand. Everything that she said would happen. Oh, except the snow. There wasn't any snow.
Honey, you're not still thinking about that fortune teller. Come on.
No. There was this truck, Glenn, with a large plate glass window strapped to the side. And you and Johnny were playing catch in the front yard. And Johnny missed the ball. And it hit the plate glass window on the truck. And I was just coming back from an auction. I saw what happened and ran toward the house. But the truck went out of control. And it crushed me against a parked car. And... it was so real.
Allie, honey, it was just a dream.
But you know the print that I had bought at the auction? Well, it was a copy of that picture by Salvador Dali. You know that crazy one with the big watch dripping over the table with the broken hands? Well, I remember looking at it as a car was running over it in the road and thinking, the broken hand.
Darling, now look.
No.
Will you listen to me?
Honey,
in the first place, the hands on Dolly's watch weren't broken. They were just distorted. In the second place, our apartment building doesn't have a backyard, let alone a front. And in the third place, the fortune teller said crystal, broken crystal. The window pane on the truck was plate glass.
Yeah, well, it was all very logical and terrifying.
I know, honey, but now just go back to sleep. And the next time you talk me into letting you go to a fortune teller, don't.
Glenn?
Hmm?
The window pane wasn't crystal. But I just thought, you know what was? My watch.
Hmm?
The crystal on my watch broke tonight.
Mommy!
Oh, now what?
Oh, I must have awakened Johnny.
He'll go back to sleep.
No, I better see what
Mommy.
He wants. What is it, dear? Oh, darling, are you thirsty? Oh, darling. Mommy will get you a glass of water.
Sally?
Mommy!
Oh. Sally, what's the matter?
Oh, Glenn, turn on the light, will you?
What happened?
I'm all right. I just tripped on one of Johnny's toys. I think it's all right, darling. You know, I think I sprained my ankle.
Yeah, let's have a look. Well, nothing seems to be broken. What is your trip on?
I don't know.
Here it is. It's fire engine. You should be told not to leave his things scattered.
I see a car, a red car. There's an accident.
Glenn, the accident?
You remember she said a car, a red... Glenn, couldn't a fire engine be called a red car?
Oh, now, darling, that's enough of all this nonsense. Please, now. I'll get Johnny a drink and help you back to bed.
Oh, I'm not really hurt. It's
please, just... Sally, please. Now, when we wake up in the morning, let's forget all this foolishness.
Coincidence? I don't think so.
Ah, yes, the prophecy comes true again.
Or did it?
Or did it? Because after all, that
pretty
was a fire truck, not a car. Yep.
Yeah, pretty good production value on this show. The music's pretty good.
They did spend some time and money on this, and yet we were able to crank out five a week. It's just a, you know, I guess I'm gaining more and more respect. I've been aware of them for quite a while, but I never really paid a lot of attention to them. But the more I delve into them, the more interesting shows I find, hitting topics that you'd never find in the grand old radio era, which basically ended in 62 with the end of Suspense and Johnny Dollar on the same night, and that was the end of the golden age of radio.
Ah, but see how even we become enriched by Erie House Radio with these great
Absolutely.
Tales that may have been underappreciated, and other not tonight. This is a good story.
Well, yeah, you look at how many years ago this was. This certainly qualifies. Well, even Mystery Theaters qualify as old time radio now, coming to us from the 1970s. You know, you're just talking 40 years ago, and another 50-some years ago was this, and many of the shows we play are 60 and 70 years old. I mean, that's what a neat thing to be sharing, the history, and our history and story, as we do here on Erie House Radio. And if you can't get enough here tonight, a great place to go is the archives, where you can listen on your computer, on your smartphone, on your tablet, wherever you want. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/DaleKay.
And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows to choose from. This one's number 255.
Yeah. And multiple shows in many of the shows. So it's a great way to spend, you know, as Dale said yesterday, you know, if you're out cutting the grass or you're out doing something that's taking time to do, slip those headphones on. It is a great way. It really moves the time along when you have these great stories to share with you.
That's right. Oh, you got a long commute? Hey, make a disc and pop it in.
There you go.
Or if your little onboard computer can pick it up, hey, head on over to Blog Talk and start perusing our library.
You know, I will have to try that in my car one day. I have a Bluetooth for my cell phone. I'm going to try next time I'm in the car for any kind of length. I'm going to try and connect with my Bluetooth to the Erie House radio, and I think it'll work. I'll be able to listen to it straight through from my phone, straight in through my car that way.
I think there has to be a way, because I know people have listened to both my former show, The Creepy Castle, and this one as well in their cars. So there's a way.
That must be it. Must be it. Well, we've got a wonderful story of all these predictions. This one, it's pretty neat. She looked at made her crumble up a scarf, and she's actually reading the scarf. I've never heard that before. Interesting twist on things.
Yeah, and this one's kind of aggressive, this fortune teller. I mean, she comes right at him, and this is how it's going to be.
Yeah, as a matter of fact,
good.
You're right. You're predicting the death and then trying to blackmail them into, is what everybody's thinking, blackmailing them into giving $2,000 for the answer.
Yes. That dirty, rotten, no good Flim Flam yep. artist. Let's find out how it all plays out. Here's a short ending to April Snowfall from Theater 5.
Well, coffee?
No, I gotta run.
Oh, you have a whole hour. You've got plenty of time.
Not if you want me to drop your watch off at the jeweler's.
Let's do it on your lunch hour.
Can't. Working right through with the staff. We're having lunch sent in.
Oh.
Do I detect a hint of disappointment in that O?
I just thought I'd join you for lunch. I don't feel like being by myself today.
Hey, you're not still letting Nightmare Alice get you down, are you?
Oh, no, of course not, but I just
okay, now look, repeat after me. The broken watch crystal and the accident with the car are coincidences.
Yeah, very strange coincidences. But coincidences.
Good girl. Now, just get it out of your mind. Oh, honey, get me a pack of cigarettes, will you?
Oh, I'm not sure there are any. Wait a minute. I think I remember seeing a pack in the bag drawer. Glenn!
Never mind. I'll pick up a pack in the lobby. Sally, what's the matter? You're white as a sheet.
Look. Look in the drawer.
Your Dresden figurine. When did that get broken?
I don't know. Unless the cleaning... But, Glenn, look at it. Look where it's chipped. The hands.
There's something else. Hands. Two broken hands.
Broken hands, Glenn. I'm beginning to be frightened.
Come on now.
She said that she heard the sound of broken crystal. Well, the crystal in my watch was broken. She told us the accident with the car somehow involved Johnny. Well, that was Johnny's fire engine I tripped over. And now this. The broken hand.
Coincidence. The long arm of coincidence.
All right, it's reaching a little too far for comfort. Glenn, maybe...
Maybe what? We should go down there like a couple of idiots and pay her the $2,000?
No, but couldn't we go down there and talk to her again?
What for? Sally, this is the oldest racket in the world.
Oh, I guess you're right. It's ridiculous. But Glenn?
No, but Glenn's. Now, but... just forget it, honey. Just forget it, okay? You're going to work yourself into a state of hysteria.
Fortune tellers are a fake. A big, fat fake.
Okay. Now, you be a good girl while I go out and make us some money. And I tell you what, pick me up at the office and we'll go out to dinner.
All right, 6 o'clock?
Fine. Bye.
Bye. Oh, Glenn... Ask them if they can have the watch ready by 5:30, and I'll pick it up on my way down.
Okay. Hey, it's a pretty good day out there. I won't even need my top coat.
Oh, it is a pretty day. Well, at least we're not going to have any snow. This is the Young residence.
Lucy, let me speak to Mrs. Young.
Oh, well, she's home, Mr. Young, but she's asleep.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Is she all right?
Well, she was awful upset. I told her that I didn't break that little statue. Johnny did. You know, I saved the pieces. I put them right in the drawer. I meant to tell her, but... Well, I didn't think she was going to take on like that. She took some sleeping pills and...
Sleeping pills?
I've never seen her this upset.
Lucy, when Mrs. Young wakes up, tell her to meet me at Johnson's Bar instead of the office. Have you got that? Johnson's Bar.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, and Lucy, tell her to make it 6:30 instead of 6. There's someone I have to see first.
Right here, driver. Where all those people are. Something must have happened. Look, pull up the street away from the crowd and wait for me.
All right, now, break it up. There's nothing to see. Break it up. Keep moving.
What happened, officer?
Some old lady died. Now, move along. Don't block the entrance.
Who is it?
Well, how would I know, Mac? Come on, now. Keep moving. Come on.
Do you know who it is?
I was talking to her not 15 minutes ago. We were sitting having tea. She ain't been well, you know.
Who is it?
Mrs. Elspeth that runs the fortune-telling parlor. She was so happy. She was saying to me, Jenny, I don't have to worry no more about being put in a pauper's grave. I'm going to have the money I need for a decent burial. $2,000, she said. Though where she thought it was coming from, I couldn't tell you.
What time did she die?
You a relative?
No, I just wondered.
Well, I can tell you exactly if it's that important to you. 5 minutes after five, exactly.
I must have the money in my hand no later than 5 o'clock Monday. 5 o'clock Monday.
I know it was five after five because we was listening to the 5 o'clock news at the time. And she was sitting there with one eye on the window, expecting heaven knows what. And when the news was over, she just turned off the radio, sat down in her chair, and closed her eyes, the poor soul. Can't imagine where she thought she was going to get her funeral money. $2,000.
Where to now, mister?
Back uptown. You know where Johnson's bar is?
Sure. Hey, what do you know about that? Snow. Look at it come down. Snow. In the middle of April. Now I've seen everything.
Never mind the bar driver. I've got to get home as fast as I can.
Has presented April Snowfall, written by Hal Hackady, produced and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Elliot Reed, Augusta Dabney, Ruth Gillette, Bryna Rayburn, Cecil Roy, and Philip Houston. Audio engineers Neil Pultz and Marty Folia. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastatsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Mr. Lee Bowman. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production.
And Fred Foy, not necessarily one of the seven little Foys.
No, but what a great voice he had. Basically the voice of Detroit, WXYZ, as he did the announcing for the Lone Ranger, the Green Hornet, and Challenge of the Yukon. Also did the voiceover for the Lone Ranger on television as well, so... Great voice, and I think that lends a little bit more credence to Theater 5 as well, having a guy like that front the program.
He did a great job, that's for sure.
The story kind of leaves you cheated, something that the old radio programs wouldn't do. They left you hanging. He had to run home because his wife was supposed to be dead. And you don't know what's going to happen. Every other prediction she made came true, except that she got her money for her grave, $2,000 for her grave. And yet, all he was doing was running home. They didn't tell you the outcome. Again, that's something that during the old radio era, they would not do that to you. They had to tell you what happened, you know?
Yep. But no, it's kind of a weird story. Had a neat twist to it.
And certainly the fortune teller was prominent in this one.
Yeah, yeah. That's some fortune teller jokes.
Okay, cool.
All right. Where did the fortune teller go on her vacation?
I don't know where.
To Palm Beach.
Oh, no. You didn't tell me you were attacking the third grade joke book. Okay, go ahead.
If it's the psychic network, why do they need a phone number? Think it over.
I will. Okay, there you go.
Where do the fortune tellers dance?
I don't know.
At the crystal ball, of course.
Silly me. Silly me.
I was going to be a psychic, but I gave it up. I just couldn't see any future in it.
Yeah. Of course.
Ooh, I don't know if I could tell this one. This one's a little... Here, I think I can clean it up a little bit.
Okay.
I went to see a palm reader, asked her how she was able to read my palm. She replied, by observing the lines and wrinkles on the palm of your hand, I can accurately predict your future and tell you about your inner self. So I unzipped my pants and put stuff on her table. We honeymooned in Vegas the next weekend.
Well, I guess you told her future.
Yeah. The crystal ball has holes in it. Well, when business is bad, I give bowling lessons.
There you go. What if there's an owl inside that ball?
Would be I don't know. I only know of one. I only know of one crystal ball that has an owl in it.
Ah.
Speaking of fortune telling, I just had a flashback to the past. Do you remember those things you would fold up into like a almost like an origami thing with like four corners to it, and you would open it up two different ways and like,
right?
You would write
different words inside there.
Yeah,
yes, no, maybe that
different
thing.
Yeah. Remember those?
I do remember those.
Our feeble attempts at telling the future.
Yeah. Just like that crystal eight ball.
Yes.
Just like that crystal eight ball, yeah.
Yep.
Yes, no, and maybe. I think we're told is the three answers you put on there. And if you knew how to count it down, you could get the answer you wanted.
Yep.
That's why I never believed in Ouija boards. It was people pushing it around to whatever they wanted to push it around to. Now, I believe in Ouija boards if you took your hands off and it went and parked itself with different numbers and letters. Then I believe in a Ouija board.
Yeah. Ouija boards are interesting. Thank you, Foggs, for listening live as he wishes us a great weekend here. And a great week ahead. We've got some interesting radio for you next weekend.
Troy, I'll be daydreaming.
Kick
I don't know
off
about you.
February. Hmm?
Don't know about you, but I'll be daydreaming next weekend.
Yes, you will. As we kick off February, such a day for a daydream with suspense. Quiet, please. And even Arthur Godfrey on Friday. CBS Radio Mystery Theater returns on Saturday with Peter, Pumpkin Eater.
Yep, a really fun episode with Fred Herman Munster Gwynn. Be sure to hear that one.
Fun.
It is a fun one. It truly is.
And speaking of fun monsters, here's one to wish us a good evening. We'll see you next Friday at 8:30 Eastern.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come. come alone.
And if you don't come alone, come with somebody. Bye-bye. See you Friday. Damn clock.
So the time was different. The time was different than when we started.
Significantly.
Yes, it was.
Blog Talk, we love you.
And we do. We do.
Yeah,
we do.
Well, I'm hoping Gar has a good show tonight, which is starting right probably somewhere around now, for his Horrible Horrors.
That was a fun Theater 5. I like it when stories leave you up in the air like that. It's just they could have done the easy thing and run home and she ran out the door to greet him. But they didn't. And they didn't tell you she was dead. They just left it there. I need to get home quick.
Yep.
You know, that, to me, I love that as an ending.
I do. Some people feel cheated. It depends how the story's, written and how things end. Sometimes tragically. Not all story endings have happy endings. And some of the...
Yeah, just as in life, you don't always have happy endings. You just have endings.
Yep, endings, which always bring beginnings too. And I'm beginning to enjoy the hell out of this program, Dave. I mean, I like you, am getting a new respect for Theater 5. We've had a few now here on Erie House, and they've all been good stories.
Yeah. And believe me, with about 200 episodes in the bank there, 200, 230, something like that, but plenty more to be coming along, just like the suspenses and where they had so many of those, because that ran for 20 years, Suspense did. You know, and Mystery Theater ran for about six or seven with a show every night, you know. Inner Sanctum that ran for how many years? And look for the Mysterious Traveler and all those programs, and so many great, great stories to come along that we're going to have fun with and share with everybody.
I see a lot of radio in your future. Seems
yep,
seem sala beam.
Yep. Oh, nothing up my sleeve. Yep.
Went up the sleeve. It's a Bullwinkle comment if I ever heard one.
If I ever heard one, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I tell you what, Dale, you really are going to enjoy next Saturday's program. I mean, the other two are good too. And
I know I will, because I won't have a roaring stomach ache next weekend.
I feel so bad for you on that, but you gotta watch out for that yogurt, man.
I swear that's what it was. It was the damn yogurt.
Well, is it like cheese that can do bad things to you if you have too much of it?
I have no idea. I'm just saying that's what it is, because I don't like yogurt.
And yet you dangerously sent that home all with your son.
Oh. And I have to tease the wife a little bit.
Sure.
Keep them neurotic, man. Your kids, your wife, keep them neurotic. Keep them off balance.
That's right. I'm sure you, as I always have the point, that our wives never exactly know what we're going to say or do in a situation.
No, nope, just when they think they know us, we pull the switcheroo.
Yeah, the double crossing.
New deviltries to confound and amaze. Yeah, I think I'm going to go have my stomach pumped now.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. So I guess in order to do that, we do not want to do that on the air. So if we're going to do that, then I think we need to have Jimmy say goodnight to us. And Dale, You have a great day tomorrow.
I will. You as well. And to everyone listening, thanks again for joining us here at Erie House.
Good night. Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the day, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Make me a sergeant, Jackson Boone.